I want to ask it again to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 to 4. Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. So last week I introduced to you our theme verse, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. I tried to show you that the emphasis in this verse is really on endurance. We often emphasize running, but really it's running with endurance that's emphasized. Literally, the verse says, through endurance, let us run. Through endurance, let us run. We run by enduring, by staying in the faith on a day-to-day basis. Run is a metaphor for the daily life of faith. Daily enduring faith is essential if the Christian is to obtain the promises of God. We must learn how to endure to the end in order to obtain the promises of God. So this verse encourages us to endure. Just a reminder again of the book of Hebrews was written to encourage new Jewish converts to continue to pursue a faith in Jesus Christ as their Messiah and not to give up. They were being persecuted from the outside. They were being persecuted from their own Jewish people to forsake this new religious practices, this belief that Jesus was the Messiah, and to turn back to Judaism, to the sacrificial system, to keeping the law, to the elaborate cleansing rituals that they were going through, to celebrate the feasts and the ceremonies, and so on and so on. Don't keep on in this new religious system, but come back to your roots. Come back to what you were familiar with. The Hebrew writer, if you read through the book of Hebrews, first explained to them how Jesus is the fulfillment of past sacrifices, rituals, and prophecies, the long-expected Messiah, the perfect sacrifice for sin, how the sacrifices of the past could not take away sin, but these sacrifices, the sacrifice of Christ, indeed did take away sin. The great eternal high priest, priesthood of Jesus, the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, and the basis of the new covenant through his blood. Jesus is the better sacrifice, the better priest, the source of a better covenant. Jesus is the better way and God's only way. That's the message of the book of Hebrews, encouraging these young Jewish converts to continue to follow in the way. The writer gives them many examples of enduring faith from the scriptures, chapter 11. With this teaching and these examples, the author encourages these Jewish converts to continue daily in their faith in Jesus Christ so that they may inherit the promises of God. I had an interesting conversation with Laura Bacatla once when she was visiting here, and somehow we got to talking about the book of Hebrews, and she said, well, we use the book of Hebrews with our new young Indian converts, and we use it on the basis that encouraging them not to go back to their old traditions, their old Indian worship styles, their own their false beliefs from the past, and to make a break with that, and to go forward and follow Jesus Christ. That's the one who is the satisfaction, the fullness of all that was promised in your old religious system. And I thought that was really neat, really interesting, a very contemporary use of the book of Hebrews with the Indian people. Jesus is the better way, the fulfillment of all their past expectations and present needs. For us today, of course, the command to daily endurance, the application of this book to us, is not to fall back into the thinking and the attitudes and the goals of the world from which God has delivered us. God has called us in Christ to be holy and loving, and to follow God's will, God's truth, and God's righteousness in a godless world. In this verse and in many others in the New Testament, we are commanded to endure. You read the New Testament, you'll find things like press on, pursue, persevere, take hold of, pay attention and do not neglect, make your calling and election sure, run that you may obtain the prize, fight the good fight of faith, hold fast to the confession of your hope. It's through endurance that we run the race and win the prize and receive the promises of God. So that's what this message is about. That's what this verse is about for us this year, is to run and through endurance to run the race. I want to take a few minutes to explain the meaning of the Greek word that's used, that's translated as endurance or perseverance or patience. Different translations have different words in there for Hebrews 12:1. So the Greek word here is eupomone. It's in your bulletin. And it's a compound word. It's made up of two words. The prefix is hupo, and it means under. And the second part of the word is meno. In your bulletins, it should be M-E-N-O, not M-O-N-E. Meno, which means to remain. So the word literally means, the word that's used here literally means to remain under. To remain under. Now, if you've seen the statue of Atlas holding up the world, that is a picture of eupomone, of this word endurance. He's got this burden and he's holding it up. He's standing underneath, and in his strength, he's able to carry this load. The word means to remain standing under the burden. But eupomone is not just passive acceptance of our circumstances. It is not just standing under the burden, but also active persistence in the face of trouble, opposition, and resistance. Endurance is to stand your ground and to refuse to be defeated. Endurance would be like trying to get from one place to another in a 90-mile-an-hour wind, and so you're pushing against the wind, and you might be getting a few inches at a time, and so you're enduring. You're standing against the pressure, but you're also pursuing actively a particular goal. So that's the picture of this word that we have here, that through endurance, we are to run the race. As we live in this world, many pressures, both outside of us and inside of us, seek to push us down and push us back to what we once were. But endurance remains under the load and presses ahead to do the will of God and to be what God wants us to be. You hear the language of endurance in Philippians 3:14. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You'll hear the language of endurance when Paul commands us in Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It's interesting in Ephesians chapter 6. It doesn't say anything there about go ahead. It just says keep standing, keep standing, keep standing with the armor of God. So that's what this word endurance means. It's a pressure that's there. It's a resistance that's there. It's something that's coming against us, and we stand against it while continuing to pursue the goal to move forward. The command, through endurance, run the race, implies that we will encounter difficulties and obstacles in the life of faith. Built into that word is the idea that, yes, you will receive resistance and obstacles in the way of life. And of course, that's no surprise. Jesus told us that we would be persecuted, carrying His name, and all of life that is godless is really coming against us to try to push us back. The idea of continually running until I make it to the finish line makes me feel like I'm going to be exhausted before I get to the end. Imagine that, like you have to keep running to the end. Whew, I'll never make it. I can never make it. Of course, I feel like that once in a while. If I read this verse with any understanding, I see that a willful, determined, conscious, all-out effort is called for. Running the race requires discipline and diligence and energy. And I kind of feel tired and discouraged just thinking about all of the effort that seems to be called for me to run through endurance, to run this race. So the writer here is going to give us some encouragements along the way, and we'll be looking at a couple of them today. Two of them today in particular. If we try to run the race in our own strength and by our own plans, we will soon become exhausted and fail. But if we run the race in God's strength and in God's way, we will endure to the end and gain the victor's crown. The author tells us how, through endurance, we are to run the race. If you read Oswald Chambers at all, this is a very common theme in his writings, that if you are not connected to the source, you will not have enough resources to make it to the end. I think it's a very, very important teaching that we need to be connected to the source. Here he's going to give us a couple of examples of those who ran, who were connected to the source, and we'll hopefully talk a little bit more about being connected to the source next time. The author begins by giving us two examples to encourage us to endure and run the race. First, he gives us the example of those in Scripture who by faith endured by obeying God where he had placed them. Even though they did not have the full revelation of Jesus Christ, they knew God and wanted to please God and were determined to follow God. With these examples, the author wants to give us a greater vision of God's calling on our life. And then, of course, the other example is Jesus enduring the cross. So let's look at the first one, and then we'll look at the second one after that. In verse 1, it says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And that points back to Hebrews chapter 11, where the author describes many Old Testament saints and their enduring faith that brought them to the end of the way that God had called them to go. Some had remarkable success in God's plan for them. Others suffered mocking, it says, flogging, chains, imprisonment, and even death. But all endured in faith, and all were pleasing to God. The Greek word for witnesses in Hebrews 12:1 is the word martus, which is where we get our word martyr from. And that's a very common word in the New Testament. When you see a witness, it will often be this Greek word martus or martyr. A martyr is one who is willing by word and life and even by death to identify with Jesus and to lift up the name of Jesus. So these Old Testament saints stood with God and God's purposes for his people, no matter what the personal cost, and they were honored by God. Hebrews 11:16 says this, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The author wants these Jewish converts, remember the context of this book, to live in the great enduring faith of their forefathers who by faith endured and pleased God. They are not running alone. They are running with all those in the past who through endurance of faith received God's reward. They are to see their endurance as a relay race where it is their turn to run the race, to keep the faith, to reach for the promises of God, and to complete their part of the race. Remember at the end of chapter 11, it says, they ran, it doesn't say they ran, it says they exercised this faith, but that faith was not perfected. It's actually perfected by you, as he's pointing to writing this book to them. And he's saying, they ran, but now they've handed the baton over to you, and it's your turn to run, and you need to hand the baton over to the next person, and they will run until God's purposes are completed. And so he's trying to show them a picture that they are a continuity, as it were, with these Old Testament saints. They're part of God's great purpose and God's great plan, and they're to be encouraged by that, not only by the examples of those in the Old Testament, but also by the fact that they are part of that continuing line of enduring faith as they go on in their daily practice of the faith. They are not running alone and without purpose, but as part of God's great purpose and plan, and as part of the long line of people of faith. They are to run with those who are willing by word and life, and even by death, to give all of their lives to the glory of God. They are to be motivated to endure by the example of those who have endured in the past and by seeing themselves as participants in that long line of enduring saints that brings to perfection the purposes of God. Remember the first four words of Hebrews 12:1 we looked at in that Greek interlinear last week. He points back and then he says, so this is what you need to do. Because of the past that is there, you are now to continue on in this enduring faith. And so he gives them these examples and then expects them to carry on. The second example given by the author is Jesus and his endurance of the cross. Jesus really is our supreme example. You might say, what a great example. But it's easy for me to be cynical of this example. Well, Jesus was God, and he was always filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was more than capable of enduring to the end. But I'm not God. I'm not always filled with the Holy Spirit. And so for me, in one sense, Jesus is a unique example that I can't live up to. At least that's how I think sometimes. I want to point out that the text here does not say that Jesus enjoyed the cross, but that he endured the cross. These didn't go around giving people high fives as he was going to the cross and, you know, exuberant and just bouncing off the walls. I'm going to the cross. Yeah. He was very unwilling to go to the cross and said, if there's any other way, let's do it that way. And God said, no, there is no other way. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. He knew that he would be sin for us. And he was not looking forward to that. Jesus despised the shame, it says in our text, of being made sin for us on the cross. Jesus felt the pain of the whip on his back and the thorns smashed on his head. Jesus felt the sting of the insults and the betrayal of Judas. Jesus felt the agony of hanging on the cross, trying to catch his last breath. But it says Jesus remained under the weight and obeyed God and won the prize. He endured. God does not ask you and me to enjoy the heavy circumstances he allows into our life, but he does expect you and me to endure and obey and to live in faith. We are told that Jesus endured because of the joy that was set before him. We are to endure because of the promises of God that he has made to us, because of who God is, because of the hope of eternal life that is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hope of eternal life is a powerful incentive to enduring the pain and trials God has allowed into our lives. It's always good as a Christian to have a long perspective and not the short perspective. If you focus on the short perspective, you'll be overwhelmed and you'll cave in and fall and quit. Get that long perspective. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. God expects you and I to endure a great deal for his glory, far more than we might expect. Well, I'm a child of God. I probably won't have to go through that. I'm favored by God. Well, I think Jesus was favored by God. And look what God had him to go through. And he'll talk more about that as we get more into Hebrews chapter 12. God wants us to endure a great deal in order to live by faith in this godless world. We, in the culture that we live in, find it very easy to wimp out, to quit, to try to find an alternative, and try to find a solution rather to endure and to follow God's way in our life. We will see in a future message that as we endure through the circumstances that God matures us and changes us to be like Christ. That's part of this whole message of Hebrews chapter 12. In the endurance, we become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Verses 3 and 4 exhort us to consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. God demands much endurance from us in our struggle against sin and a godless world that seeks to extinguish our faith. Endurance means exposing ourselves to attack and resisting those attacks without considering personal costs. As you look to the saints of the past and to Jesus at the cross and to the promises of God, you can endure and not grow weary or faint-hearted. We are to be encouraged by the faithful endurance of believers recorded in Scripture and by Jesus who endured the cross. We are to consider ourselves as part of that ongoing group of martyrs who witnessed that Jesus is both Lord and Savior, and who endure the consequences of the life of faith. I like reading books about saints of the past, you know, in the 1300s, 1400s, that kind of thing, and what they had to endure for their faith. Even being martyred for saying that the Pope was not the head of the church, or for saying that the Lord's body was not truly in the bread and the cup at the communion time. For things we would probably not even consider all that important. They were martyred and burnt at the stake for those kinds of things. They stood for what they believed. They endured, and those are our forefathers, and we need to maintain that same kind of endurance in our own testimony of the faithfulness of God's Word and of Jesus Christ being Savior and Lord. God expects us to endure a great deal for His glory. So I have a question for you. What kind of posters hang on the wall of your mind? What kind of posters hang on the wall of your mind? Well, if you walk into the room of a teenager, you'll find the walls covered with posters of their heroes, or of what they desire in life, or of what gives them a sense of identity and meaning. As we get older, we replace our wall posters with goals and dreams and ideals that we pursue. We demonstrate by the use of our time and resources, our energies and thoughts, what our highest goals and pursuits are. Now, somebody might ask us, well, what's your goal? What are you pursuing? We might tell them what they want to hear. But truly, it's how we use our money and our time and our activities that truly show what our goals are. God calls us to make it our goal to live a life of faith in God. And that makes God supreme in all our decisions and dreams and hopes. God has called you to a life of faith that seeks to fulfill God's purposes and brings glory to God. We are not to use God as a strong helper to fulfill our own dreams and our goals, but to run the race that God sets before us, and to do it without considering our own the cost to us. God's path, God's way, God's will is what we must follow with endurance, perseverance, and determined willfulness. Only God knows the way that He has set before you. No matter what that way may be, you are to run that path that God has set before you with endurance, running to the very end. Might be a life filled with activity, filled with glorious miracles and results and fruitfulness. It might be a life that you did not expect because of sickness, because of financial reverses, because of family circumstances, whatever. That is the race that God has set before you, and you are to run that race with endurance. Not kind of looking this way and that way. I've got an interesting illustration in your bulletin about a fellow who lost his opportunity to compete in the Olympics because just at the moment that he was going over the line, he just turned to see who was chasing him and he got passed. Like Peter, who says, well, what about him? Jesus said, well, don't forget about him. Just keep following me. Follow me. You can endure much more than you think you can endure. So keep on running. I thank God that whenever I want to quit running the race, He always brings some encouragement, some incentive, some example, some new strength, some new vision, some new hope, some other person along, some verse from the Bible to keep me running. If God has commanded us, if God has commanded you through endurance to run the race that is set before you or before us, then God will make it possible at every moment to run with endurance the race that is set before us. It may not look pretty, but it is possible. It may not look like you're all that strong or you're running all that well, but it still is endurance. Think of Christ carrying his cross to Calvary, falling down, and having to even have somebody else carry that cross there. He was still enduring and going forth. But would you look at him at that time and say, well, he's not really enduring. He's not really that strong. He's failing. But he was indeed, his mind was fixed on obeying the will and the word of God. Look to him to run with endurance. God will give you the hope and the power to run the race to the end. So don't quit. If you're ready to quit, give me a call and I'll give you a kick in the pants and encourage you along the way, I hope, so that you can not quit. So we can all be there rejoicing in the throne, before the throne, with him together. Next week, want us to continue on a little bit more in Hebrews 12 and look at some of the things that we're called to do in Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Romans 15 verses 4 and 5. For whatever was written in former days, and Hebrews 11 is all about that, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.